Dave said something very important there. And what we need to understand, what if I was to tell you sometimes in that journey in the wilderness, God will put you in places you don't want to be. You don't want to be there. But what if God says, I know that's the best thing for them? Because once they experience that, they will understand that I have never left them. I was always with them. What does the scripture say about even being in hell, being in the pit? Doesn't it say that even if you're in hell, if you make your bed in hell, in other words, you're going to reside there for a while. That's your place. And believe it or not, we used to say a place of rest, but if you're in hell, it's not going to be rest. But you made your bed there. You're going to take up an abode there. And he says, if you make your bed in hell, I'm there. We hardly ever think about that, that Jesus would be in the midst of hell. It's darkness all around you. Some of us have experienced that darkness. Scripture says you were once darkness. It tells us that, doesn't it? But the thing is, who's there in that too? God is there. I read a scripture in the Old Testament that says that darkness is his pavilion. There's another one that says that darkness is under his feet. He rides on it. You know, he has a purpose even in darkness. And people say, well, darkness is a bad place. I don't like to be in darkness. Yeah, God knows that. Sometimes he has to take you to a bad place in the darkness. And we say, you know what? I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. The scripture says that you can be in that darkness and you grope as blind men. It says that. You will grope. You don't know your way. And this is all here. It's taking place in your consciousness. And you're saying to yourself, I don't know where I need to go, how I need to get out of this and stuff. And that's where an opportunity can work its way in. Because we don't know how to get out of it, but God does. So in the midst of that darkness, God will draw himself alongside of you. And then he'll show you how to get out of it. But you have to follow him in order to get out. Somebody was talking this morning, Gary, I think it was, about the light. So scripture tells us we're the light of the world, right? Tells you that Jesus is light. So if we're the light of the world, we're only that because we follow Jesus, because he's the light. We need to follow him in that light. But is it always light around us when we don't know him fully? No, sometimes he has to shine a light on us because we're not willing to go there. So he says, okay, you won't come here. I'll shine it on you and show you the darkness that's in you. Sometimes we can rebel, we can back up, we can do our own thing, but because God loves us so much, he'll shine that light on us. It's such a great thing. I'm not going to get through anywhere near what I'm going to need to get through today, but we'll finish it up Wednesday. But I do want to tell you something. We've been talking about the wilderness and traveling in it, right? We even talked about being healed in the wilderness. Some of the things that we mentioned, you know, we talked about the blindness, the deaf, the dumb, the lepers being cleansed, which is it typifies a cleansing from clean and unclean. In other words, if you're unclean, you can get cleansed. That's what leprosy stood. There was a law of leprosy in Leviticus. And so if the priest said you were clean, you were declared clean, right? Well, do we have unclean thoughts sometimes? Do we have unclean spirits that we have to deal with? Things like that. So isn't that still the same for us? Are we blind sometimes while we're walking through the wilderness? Are we deaf? Are we dumb? You know, do we have those things working in us? Is our heart hard for some reason? Hard for God to be able to reach us? Not because God can't, it's because we don't allow it. You know, so there's a will working there, see? We have to be very careful about how we say, well, you know what? I don't really feel God leading me and guiding me. Let me tell you something very important you need to know. Feelings is not how God works. I'm going to say that again. It's not because you seem like, okay, I got to feel this a certain way to know that God is with me. No. What if I told you that you have a confidence and an assurity in God because no matter how you feel, you know God is there and that he's leading and guiding you. There are going to be times that you, like I said, you'll feel like you're even actually alone. But what God is doing during that time is giving you an opportunity to put your faith in him and don't go by feelings, but go by what you know in God. I know things in God. I know God can deliver. How do I know that? Because he's delivered me. I know God can heal those spiritual wicked things that are in me. How do I know that? Because he's done that. He's healed me. He's taken away some of that blindness, the deafness, the dumbness, the uncleanness. He's done that. So since I know that he can do those things, what do I do? I don't go by what, you know, the flesh tries to make you say in a way that, okay, you have to feel this before you can believe it. What if I told you that that's the job of the flesh for you to be able to say, oh, I got to feel something. I want God to just take control of me and overwhelm me and make me do right. Has anyone ever had a prayer like that? God, just make me do right. God's not going to do that. He's not going to make you do right. But I tell you what he will do. He's always appealing to you through his spirit, always through his word. For you to take that step in your will to say, Lord, I give up now. I give up. I'm not going to keep going that way, you know, because it seems like the more I walk that way, the further behind I get. But if I can get to the point where I can just believe you, it's not a matter of feeling. It's just, I just believe you are. A person that comes to God has to first believe that he is, the scripture says. If I can just believe you are, you're in my life, you're real, you are God, and you do hear me when I pray, that's a big thing. Scripture I'm going to go to is a favorite of one of ours here in this assembly. I'm going to read it. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I like how it starts off. God is saying, I beseech you, I entreat you, I beg you. This is God speaking to you. I beseech you. Brethren, he calls all of us brethren. That includes the women. When you talk about the brethren in the church, you're talking about the church as a body. So that's men and women. That's the brethren of the church. By the mercies of God. Oh my goodness. What can I say about God's mercy? Mercy is God loving us in spite of what we deserve. We deserve judgment, don't we, Ernest? We deserve to be in hell. We deserve to be judged for the sin that we've done. But God says, mercy. So you don't get what you deserve, Chris. What we deserve is far worse. But you know what God does? I love this thing about him being an advocate for us. He's the one that redeems us. So how does he do that? He takes our place. As he stands before the throne of God and God is there, he says, yeah, I'll be your advocate. I'll take your place. Backs right into our spot. I'll take your place. He does that as an advocate. An advocate with the Father. He takes our place. And I love that because he doesn't do that as just an act. You know why he takes our place? Because he loves us. If you love somebody, you'll give your life for them. Does that make sense? Christ gave his life for the church. He loved it and gave his life for it. He loved us. We're the church. We're the saints. So he gave his life for that. Wow. But he also did something else, though, that I love. I love even more. Dave talked about it this morning. He followed the commandment of the Father. And the Father said, okay, I want you to give your life, but I'm giving you a commandment right now. When you give it, turn right around and pick it up again. Now, that's power. Give your life, die, and then turn around and take that right back and bring life back. Whew. It is he that quickeneth. Quickeneth means to give life. He's the one that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Isn't that true? But who does the quickening first? Who brings the life first? When we feel like we're dead, God can bring life to a dead thing. He's been doing it. He's always done it. He will always do it. We may feel like I'm dead to everything, but what God is saying is, no, I've been in you all this time. What I'm going to do, I'm going to show you that I'm real. And he will start working with that mind. Now, listen to the rest of this thing here. By the mercies of God, God had mercy on me to continue to deal with me, deal with my spirit, with my thoughts. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Present yourself before God. Let it be a sacrifice. Sacrifice what you think, what you want to do, the way you want to go. Sacrifice that. You know why? Because all those things you want to do, none of them make it. After you leave here, all those things you wanted so much, all the things you wanted to do, whatever, it's not going to mean anything if you miss God. And if you miss heaven, you miss the kingdom of God. They're worthless now. Well, I had millions of dollars and I had a mansion on the hill. Yeah. Now who does it belong to? Doesn't belong to you. You're gone. You see how that works? It's an amazing thing. No matter what we do here, what we accomplish here. I told somebody one time they wanted me to run for office here in Yuma for something. A group of them said, yeah, we'll back you and we'll do this and we'll do that. And I said, you know what? I wouldn't want to take down from being what I am to be president of the United States. I wouldn't. I'm greater than that. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. Where are you coming from with that? You think you're arrogant? Or what's going on by saying that? No, 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 no. I'm a child of God. Child of God has the power of his Father. I believe that. I believe that everything that I need, I could be president of the United States and cannot save one soul. Not one, Sessie. Not have the power to do that. Oh, you have the power in the world. And then it's that, you know, this world's going to pass away, the scripture says. This world that we know is going to pass away. He's talking about the world and you. I'm not talking about this earth here being destroyed. Actually, I believe just the opposite. I think this earth has to stay here to keep teaching people the manifestation of what God is saying in his word. You see it here. You see all the ugliness, the war, the evil, the envy, whatever, everything. You see it all around you in this physical world, don't you? Well, God's manifesting things. He's showing you that when man's in charge, it messes up. It messes up big time. But when he's in charge, you can have peace in the midst of everything that's going on here. You're not going to be stirred to the point of panic or fear like everybody else will. You know that you are in the palm of God's hand. No man can pluck you out of my hand is what he says. Do you think God's a liar or do you think he means that? No man can pluck you out of my hand. So if I'm in the hand of God, I want to nestle down in there and stay there. You know why? Because God is covering me. God is keeping me. So this scripture, the other part of it talks about be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, what world is he talking about? He's not talking about this physical one we're talking here, even though it's good not to conform to this one. But you know what world he's talking about? He's talking about that world that he put in your heart, the center of your will. That world he put in you that Ecclesiastes talks about. Do you realize when God first put that world in you, it was clean? It was clean when he put it in you. And then over a period of time, guess what happened? We defiled it. We defiled that world by how we think, by what we do and whatever. But God put it in there for a purpose. Now that I put the world in you, I want you to see how bad that can be when you're in charge of it. And let's see how bad that world gets. And sometimes we even loathe the stuff that we do. the stuff we've done, the stuff that we've messed up in. He said, you were talking about regrets a little bit. Sometimes men have regrets. Men do. And they say, oh, I wish I would have done this better and that better. And you want to live your life over and you want to do all these things because you messed up, Sessie. You messed up the world he gave you. But he said, no. You're going to learn from that. Here's what I want you to do. Don't conform to that world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and I'll let you enter my world, which is the kingdom of God. Now things change, doesn't it? I want you to enter the world that I have. I don't want you to stay in the world where there's darkness. I don't want you to stay in the world where your thoughts are all messed up. I don't want you to stay in the world where you're fearful all the time. I don't want you to stay in the world where you're sick all the time. When I'm talking about sickness, I'm talking about sickness, vanity, disease. It's all right here. And people say, what are you talking about? Hey, the scripture says that you have vanity, you have a diseased mind. In Isaiah chapter 1, it says, oh, the whole head is sick. Why head? Because that's where we think. So there's sickness all the time. And Jesus came and he healed that sickness and those diseases. And people were changed and they became a different person. And we call that the new man. It was inward, wasn't it? So the change had to take place in here, not out there. In here, it had to be inward. And it's the new man. Not consumed with corruption and lust like the old man was. That's what we were following, was the old man. God put us in that wilderness for us to realize the old man was leading us the whole time. Israel, even though God went before him and behind him, provided everything for him, they still didn't believe God. The old man was in charge, that's why. Never believed him. Now Jesus has come, the scripture says, and has given us an understanding, and that we're in him that is true, and we believe in him that is true, right? So he's given us a different understanding now. Do we understand evil now better than we did before? Can we understand how it works in us? Oh, yeah, I know that feeling. I know this thought. I know that now. Remember I said don't trust feelings? Because that adversary will use that. What if I told you that's kind of like the motions of sin? He brings a feeling over it. Well, I don't feel like they love me. And the very person you're talking about is the one praying for you. Aha, huh? But you're going by a feeling, right? Come on, guys. I don't want you to be fooled. We are deceived by that. We're deceived by how we feel about something. What if I told you that God works in the midst of your feeling and changes it and says, I don't want you to go by this. I want you to know that my spirit is here and that this is real. It's not a fleeting or glancing thing that passes through because you feel a certain way. No, this is something that's permanent. I live here. I will take up my abode in you, and I'm always here. So it's not a passing fancy. It's me taking up my residence in you. Isn't that different? It's different than how a feeling coming through. Well, I felt pretty bad yesterday. I had a bad day yesterday. Hey, what made your day bad? Things didn't go right the way I wanted it to go. Everything didn't flow the way I wanted it to flow. Bad things happen. Things that I wanted to come out a certain way didn't happen that way. So now it was a bad day? No, the scripture tells me, this is a day that the Lord hath made. I shall be happy and I'll rejoice in it. All those other things didn't matter. Those are things that happen. But I'm going to rejoice in what God has already told me and promised me that it's going to be a good day. You know why? Because it's a day of the Lord. It's another day that belongs to him. It's another day that I've lived and understood what God is all about. That's what makes that day different. So, yeah, are there bad days, as we say, bad days? Yeah. But you know what? I've always had good days in God. Always. All I have to do is think on him, and I've been transformed by the renewing of my mind. Why does the mind have to be renewed? Because that's what went downhill. God has to renew it. He has to renew your mind. If you're going to be the new man, will he have to renew your mind? to overcome all of that corruption that you put into that world, and you defiled that world that he put in you. And now he says, I want to put you into a different world now. Now follow me into the world that I have. Follow me in my kingdom. Follow me, as it says in Titus, in that time of regeneration. Is he going to regenerate everything? Does our soul need to be regenerated? Yes, every aspect of it. Because God says it. Then you will see that, oh, what he's been trying to tell me the whole time. I'm with you, and I've never left you, and I can make things better. Some people wonder, how can you keep this mindset when so many things are going wrong? So many things are, well, God said it was going to happen. He said in the world you're going to have tribulation. So he already warned me about it. So be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So do I have to be of good cheer because I know God? I don't have to be, but I decide. I decide that I want to be. I want to have the cheerfulness that God said he's going to give me. And that's because I know his promises, right? I know he doesn't lie. I know he keeps his promises, Kiko. Have you seen God? Have you seen Jesus? Yeah. What did he tell you to do? Go back? Why do you think he told you to go back? Ah, he wasn't done with you yet, huh? So you were on the edge of dying and God, and you saw him in a vision. He said, go back. I'm not done with you yet. You think maybe that's the mercy of God, Dave? You think maybe that's what it is? People say, well, wait a minute. Why didn't you concentrate on your dying? You know, you're sick, you're dying, something's wrong, whatever. No, concentrate on what God told you. The sayings of Jesus are our salvation. What he speaks to us and what he speaks to our heart saves us. Saves us from what? Our own thoughts, our own mind, our own world. He saves us from it all the time. Have you had a thought and then God came in and said, ah! I've had those. Has that ever happened to you, Ceci? I was going down a bad path. Oh, I'm thinking this is my... God said, hold up. I'm here. Remember when I... Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God's done that to me. Sometimes he even stopped me from entering into something like that. Something's coming, so think on me. Has God ever warned you about something coming? Anybody? He's warned me about things to come. And I got helped before I got there. God told the children of Israel one time, said, if you'll listen to me and obey my commandments and follow me and not turn back, not change your mind, whatever, I will lead you to a land full of milk and honey. Did they do that? Nah. They didn't believe him. Even though it was a pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire at night, he's protecting them before and after, front and behind, provides for them, feeds them, doesn't allow their clothes to get old, doesn't allow their shoes to wear out, even when they're in captivity of sin because they don't believe God. But God still kept them. He keeps his promises. He's the one that's faithful. He said, I'll take you through here, but since you don't believe, I'll let this generation that doesn't believe me, let your carcasses line that wilderness. You'll die here. But the ones that believe me, there's always a Caleb and a Joshua, isn't there? There's going to be somebody that believes God. Don't look at the numbers. Don't look at all the people that don't. Look at the people that do believe God. Don't look at the ones that don't. That's not good for you. And don't ever envy anybody that does not have God. Don't envy them. What are you envying them for? Well, they have this, and they have that, and they have that. Look at what you have. You have God. You have salvation. You have eternal life. You have the one that created all things. You're a creature of God. The Creator created you as his creature. The creature was made subject to vanity, but for what reason? so he could learn about it and overcome it. Isn't that true? Wow. God did so many great things. Why'd you do it that way, God? Well, he's not a man. He doesn't do it the way we do it. He does it differently. He's God. And he knows that you'll learn by the way he does it. And when you learn it, what happens is you'll be transformed in the wilderness. You're out in the middle of the wilderness. There's wild beasts there. It's hard to get water and food and whatever. And then you have to depend on... That's who you depend on. And God will take you through. So we try to avoid the wilderness experience, that we have to go through tough times sometimes. But God said, don't avoid that. That's where we're going to come together and we're going to overcome this stumbling block that you have. We're going to overcome this fear that you have. We're going to overcome this lack of faith that you have. We're going to overcome this sickness that you have. We're going to overcome this disease. We're going to overcome how you think. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're going to overcome that. We're going to overcome these feelings that you have. Well, I feel like this isn't going to work. Yeah, we'll overcome that mess because all it is an unclean spirit. So we'll overcome that too. We're going to overcome everything in the wilderness. And you say, well, why do I have to face it? So that you can become stronger. We're going to overcome it, overcome it, overcome it until we are where God wants us to be. And guess what? Then we get resurrected. And God does everything that we need because we become sons of God the way he wants us to become the son of God. So God's doing this for us for a reason. Everything. When you're in the midst of something that you don't like, stop and think for a second. I'm in my wilderness experience. God has taken me to a place to overcome. Well, I have so much of it. Well, maybe God needs to work more out of you. You never know. Maybe you're going to turn out to be the great warrior God's been looking for. Paul went through a lot of things. Look how he turned out. Isn't that true? Maybe you go through more because God knows you're able to take it and that he's going to make you into something great. In him, not great men of the world, in him. So you become great in God and you become a great follower. And then God may just put all kinds of blessings on you in understanding his gifts, his spirit, his word, and you can help others and other souls will be saved. That's the purpose of everything. It's not about us. It's about what God wants. It's not about us. Very important. So, like I said, I'm not going to get through this time, but we are going to talk about this renewing of the mind. We're going to talk about how these things are spiritual. We're going to talk about how God wants to change us. We're going to talk about being a new man as opposed to an old man. We're going to talk about how there's still a little darkness and corruption left in us, and God wants to heal it. You notice the term I use, heal. He wants to heal it. And so that we can be whole and take us through this whole journey. Then what's going to happen? We'll leave the wilderness and go to the mountaintop. That's what'll happen. We'll be there. We'll be able to see God face to face. Didn't Jesus say that there's a time that he wouldn't speak in parables anymore, but he will speak to you plainly? The things of the Father. What do you think that is? He's going to speak to us plainly. There'll be a communication and a relationship just like Jesus had. Well, that was Jesus. Yeah, and that's you. You're a son of God too. See? And he'll speak to us plainly. He'll speak right to your mind and to your heart. Guide you in everything. Isn't that what we want? That's a good thing. Good thing.